Brendan, could you just, like, as I'm recording, just place some of those tendies in my mouth? Just give me, like, a little bit of biscuit, just, like, in my mouth. I'll just sort of, like, Clockwork Orange. I'll just sort of be like... What do you say? Why don't we start the show? What is this, episode 45? Episode 45. Chapo Cult 45. I initially have to apologize that you're getting this on Saturday after waiting a whole week with no Chapo, but you must understand that we've been very busy, like I said, doing sold-out live shows to widespread acclaim and the love of thousands. So we got a little bit behind, and also it was both Brendan and Matt's birthdays back to back this week. So, you know, we decided to treat ourselves and maybe take a day off. So I hope you can forgive us, you greedy little shits. Now I know what rappers are like talking about when they're like how serving fiends is just like a hassle. You got to be like on the block, sun up to sundown, just serving, and that's sort of like what we're like. That's how we're living.
There are different ways you can avoid your family than listening to the show. You don't have to rely on us to come out like clockwork. We have busy weeks where sometimes two special boys were put out into that world that week. And we just can't make it. But you can always say there was a problem at work if you're unemployed, like most of our listeners are. You can say that a family member died. Anything to avoid your wife, girlfriend, whatever. We know how it is, but you can't just rely on us to come out reliably. It's not what we do. Yes, this is two of the three speaking members' main jobs. Yes, this is the main thing I do, but fuck you. We'll come out when we want it to.
I just want to say, though, shout out to all the birthday havers. You know, like if you got a birthday, respect to all the birthdays. Every day is someone's birthday,
and all the moms who made those birthdays possible pumping out those kids. Respect.
As we just found out, someone's mom is a fan of the show, Colette, and so shout out to her and her mom, and shout out to all the moms again. Everyone who has a birthday, everyone who has a mom, you know, you're the real heroes.
Shout out to the dads, the forgotten heroes.
Fuck those dads. Fuck
no,
those
no.
dads.
Oh, yeah.
No,
well,
I read a very persuasive issue of the New Inquiry a couple years ago that made the case that dads suck and we should say fuck them, and I think they were right. No dads. Fuck the fatherhood. Moms only.
The New Inquiry is in league with the family court system, all the anti-father bias.
Well, anyway, we're glad to be back and back in the trap again after our triumphant week of live shows. But now we're back in the original format, in the recorded format, and we're happy you're still with us. The topic for this week's show is Bill the Butcher Did Nothing Wrong.
Nothing.
A symposium. that is the thesis we're going to put forward on this week's show.
Don't want to be harsh here, but wearing robes, getting boys to help you out. Look, none of this shit's in the Bible. If you believe in any of that, you're pagan. All Christians are pagans, all of them. Catholics are sort of like modern day Roman sexual psychopaths, whereas most proddies are racist Scots Irish people. Mormons are just a bunch of weirdos that literally worship America. None of this shit's in the Bible. None of it. Extremely paganistic. It's crap. It's bullshit. Throw it out. Only one group of people in the history of the world has ever been selected to care about God, and half of us don't even do it. God doesn't belong to you. Get out of here.
Off to a good start. I was going to try to be more diplomatic before, you know.
I will say I was brought up. I was brought up Catholic, but by very sort of casual and not terribly observant Catholics, and I never got confirmed or had a first communion, and I look back on it now and I say, thank God. Kept that taint off of me.
Well, yeah, literally.
Thank Hashem, the name, one of the only names for God, the other name, Elohim, because God does not appear to you when you chant in Latin. Rather, he appears to you indirectly in the many times in history which your tribe has lost wars. That's what God is. Not a guy that you conjure when you put on robes. Sorry.
So the backstory to this episode is our sort of ongoing war with the Catholic Church, or rather their followers here in America, or their followers on Twitter.
Is this it, priest? The Pope's new army? A few crusty bitches and a handful of ragtags?
I see. I was going to start out the show by saying some good things about the Catholic Church, so maybe you guys can chime in. I'd like to say they've midwifed some great art and architecture. A lot of great writers Catholic. And probably like 1,000 years ago, they were at the cutting edge of like reason and philosophy and knowledge, at least in Europe and the West. I don't know. That's about it.
Yeah, that's kind of it. I mean, Martin Scorsese, Catholic.
Yeah, Martin Scorsese, definitely. Scorsese,
yeah. Tony Soprano.
Mm-hmm.
After that, nothing. Like,
no. Not much.
Bad Lieutenant. Not much. Don't forget the Bad Lieutenant.
Oh, bad yeah. Lieutenant. Abel Ferrara. Okay, yeah. Abel Ferrara. Like I said, like it's an interesting, it's an interesting mix that's sort of, like I said, brought forth a lot of conflicted and pained geniuses.
What have they done? Name one thing they've contributed. Votes. Votes, you say? They vote how the Archbishop tells them, and who tells the Archbishop? Their king in the pointy hat, but sits on his throne in Rome.
Somebody came out with a manifesto this week, and
things. There's the manifesto. I want to get to that, but then there was the article about us.
We
that came out on Tuesday, right?
There was an article about us in what was it called?
First Things Magazine.
First Things Magazine, which, and by they mean by First Things, they mean like the man and the woman and the snake and the literal first things. But they say they made it sound like we tricked Tradcaths into listening to us by making fun of Hamilton, but it's really like a plot to make them not be Christian, which. To that I say, it's not like there are millions of you to trick of like leftists. Like there aren't a lot of you. We did not know that this was like a group of people that listen. It wasn't so much that we were trying to like get you to like the show by making fun of liberals and Hamilton, and then be like, oh yeah, and sodomy should be allowed. It was more that like we were just doing that for people who already believe that stuff.
Yeah,
and we were like. Oh, they're trying to take away my anti-sodomy beliefs. No, we have no goal
well, I mean,
on you.
It was honestly, all we're really doing is saying that, relaxed attitudes towards sodomy should be extended to the lay population as well. I mean, that's all we're saying.
You know, like I said, it's been a sort of a falling out, and for that I apologize. But for the people who were tricked into listening to the show, only so that we could like sort of sneak in all of this anti-papist content. Once we got your defenses down, I'd just like to say congratulations. You prayed yourself,
and now enjoy hell for eternity with the rest of us. That is a crazy thing to think that we are like conspiring to bring these people to their spiritual ruin. But when you think that the devil is a real guy. That's kind of how you end up thinking.
Okay, so
that's one of the most true things that Joe Rogan ever said. He said, if you believe the devil is real, you are an asshole. And that is just very unconditionally true.
So let's get into the article, though. I want to talk about this. It's because
Hold on a minute. I want to say one thing before we start.
Yeah, okay.
Because this thing is, it's got the importance behind it of some sort of, like, fucking ex-cathedra papal bull that's like condemning us for our insolence and sin and just basically saying Catholics don't go near them. And it really needs to be stressed that this entire thing started off. The whole tiff with these tradcaths started off when Brendan made fun of Sonny Bunch and one of his Tradcath Free Beacon dorks in arms, F. Bill McDickbag, or whatever the hell his name is.
Is it FBI Bill McMorris or Matthew Walther?
Whatever. No, no, it was McMorris first.
Okay.
And someone, some unsung hero, the Gravillo Princip, who started this war, found out that that asshole had also, like Sonny Bunch, been caught in an elevator and tweeted about it. Yeah. And that was such a devastating own that then his other Tradcath dork friends, like Matthew Walther, felt it incumbent upon themselves to declare war on us. There's nothing about, this isn't about theology, it's not about politics, it's not about your soul, it's that these fucking thin-skinned dickheads got their feelings hurt in a Twitter argument and decided to turn it into a holy war.
It gives new meaning to the children's crusade.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
and
actually...
And we own them just over being dorks who get caught in elevators. That was it. It didn't have anything to do with them being Catholic.
You are forgetting that one of the tenets of the Catholic faith is that you have to defend Sonny Bunch. And it's talked about in the Led Zeppelin song Elevator to Heaven. No, the Catholics are big on defending the weak. They may be inbred neocons who have the signs of inbreeding, like being pear-shaped, an entrapment curse that was passed down from generation to generation, faltering eyesight, to the point where they can only do make-work jobs. They're what you call trainables. They can only do these make-work jobs where they talk about the conservative themes in Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. And the Catholics have to defend these weak people.
Well, yeah. So, like, once again, you know, we didn't start this war, but
no.
We'll finish it.
No, I mean, it will be like the Iraq War.
Yeah.
It will be like the Iraq War. They have overextended themselves. We are Muqtada Muqtada. They're in our world.
And may the Christian Lord guide my hand against your Roman popery.
So... Let's get into the first thing, the article that was written about us, because, like I said, I saw this on this thing. This came out on Tuesday or Wednesday in First Things magazine, the title, Christians Stay Away from Irony Bros. And the first sentence, is, if you were asked to describe Chapo Trap House by someone who knew nothing about it, just stop right there. What I said immediately was, like, coming out of, a weekend, a back-to-back sold-out live shows that we did, seriously, nothing felt more rewarding than reading this article, to me, at least. I mean, I don't know how you guys felt, but... And here's the deal. Like, you know, I should give some background here. I invited the author of this article, Mark Maron. No, fuck.
Hey, what the fuckers? I want to thank, first of all, our sponsors, Vatican II and the Vatican Bank. Does anybody hate why they can't launder money for the mafia? The Vatican Bank.
All right, no more jokes about people's names. You know, I'm going to be polite. This is Mark Mason wrote the article. And I reached out to him on Twitter. And, you know, I said, do you want to come on the show and talk about the article? Because, you know, we're going to talk about it on the show. And the last time, you know, someone like this who wrote an article that was making fun of us or critical of us, Robbie Suave, you'll remember we invited him on the show. So I did the same for Mark Mason. And I told him to listen to the Robbie Suave episode and said we'd be on our best behavior. But, you know, nonetheless, I said, you know, we're kind of have to roast the article a little bit. But I got to say, Mark, he didn't want to do the show. That I think that's totally fine. That's his prerogative. He was very genuine. You know, he was honest. We had an honest discussion about it. We had a good conversation about it. And like I said, he was genuine. And there was nothing in the article really that I thought was, you know, gratuitously wrong or offensive. I just thought it was funny. So, you know, when you get to actually contact a real human being like that, it makes owning them all the more difficult. But luckily, Matt and Felix didn't talk or meet this guy at all, so
no.
we can go on.
Yeah, because
I made no agreement
when I read what he said about how I don't feel. It's like, and my thought was, Robbie Suave, whose entire body is made of fucking cartilage, came in here and was willing to fucking get roasted.
He showed a lot of heart.
Guy who considers himself this guy who considers himself like, you know, a warrior for Christ is like, I didn't make it made fun of.
Oh, can we talk about
the Ottomans are at the gates of Vienna, you're not going to be able to fucking stop them, buddy.
Ooh, looks like someone knows that the real God isn't on his side. Ooh, you say God's real name.
Can we
you
talk
think
about
you can
it?
Do that? You can't, bitch. Ooh.
With God, all things are possible except going on a podcast.
Yeah. Can we talk about another another true believer who also ducked us this week?
Yes, we can.
Michael Brendan Doherty, another trad cath. He's probably one of the bigger names in the trad cath universe.
Yeah, the monsters of tradition.
And he said, you know, you should go on Chapo Trap House. And Doherty responded, you know, if no other papist is up to the task, I'll go on their little show or whatever. And then we reached out to him again, but apparently he was booked solid for the next 3 weeks, blogging about his fantasy baseball team.
I took him under my wing, and see how I'm repaid. Saves my life one day, so he can kill me the next like a sneak thief, instead of fighting like a man. A base defiler. Unworthy of a noble name.
I gotta say, G.K. Chesterton once wanted to duel someone who insulted the Holy Virgin.
He would have
mother.
Lost, though. He's a bitch.
And, you know, and then I thought to myself, maybe we should invite Matthew Walther on the show because I did make fun of him by name on Saturday night. But then I thought, well, no, I will invite Matthew Walther on the show. And if you're listening, Matthew, I will invite you on the show, provided you write an article about us in the Free Beacon that is sufficiently mad.
Yeah.
If you do that, if you write an article about us in the Free Beacon, we'll have you on the show. I've heard through various sources that you're, you know, a good guy, you're a young writer who's like struggling to make it and just happened to end up writing at the Free Beacon. So I'm down to support young writers. We could use a little bit of our, you know, celebrity and fan
base. Do you think
base
the problem with the elevators at that building is that somebody needs to like perform an exorcism on them?
Possibly. But
I have to say that I'm bummed out that Doherty's not coming on so that we can debate his thesis that Francisco Franco was a reformer with results.
We'll have to do our Franco episode another time.
That'd
but,
be a fun one.
I mean, genuinely, I do want a genuine reactionary to come on the show and have a proper row with us. But, you know, it's just not in the cards at the moment until someone wants
to... It's almost as though they're a bunch of tender bitches who can't fucking... even conceive of arguing with somebody who is not an equally bitchy liberal.
Yeah, turns out they're not like David, and they don't know about all the cool shit David did because he's in the real Bible. The real part of the Bible that has 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel in it. It has Yahweh and it has Elohim. It has all the real guys.
Oh man, I said, so until someone does want to come on and defend the honor of the Catholic Church, we're just going to have to sacrilege. We're just going to have to blaspheme gratuitously. Yeah. So, anyway, so I just want to read a little from Mark Mason's article about us. He says, you know, the podcast is discursive and meandering and dense with allusions to pop culture and things that go viral on Twitter. That is correct. It is highly irreverent and highly ironic. The hosts have been dubbed Irony Bros, and that's probably a good enough description. Unlike older...
Probably. Writer, right.
Unlike older, more classical forms of irony, the irony of these Irony Bros is omnidirectional and a universal solvent. Now, that line was one thing that I was going to take issue with him if he came on the show, but in our conversation, Mark said in listening back to our other shows that our use of irony was, in fact, not omnidirectional, and that, you know, we do have some heart. We do have some direction to our irony.
Well, I also, frankly, I think the whole irony thing is nonsensical. What does that even mean? I mean, for the most, when we have our show, we're pretty fucking sincere, it seems to me.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not doing I don't even know what irony, frankly, is when they refer to it. Like, I don't know.
It's
what
like, you know, classical.
When they say we're ironic.
Like, classical forms of irony, like Jonathan Swift, where he only made fun of one thing.
Yeah, I mean, which is also
irony isn't making fun of something. Those things aren't interchangeable terms.
Right. Irony.
What do they specifically mean by it being ironic?
Irony.
Is it like fucking Alanis Morissette? It means nothing? It's just a gibberish word?
Irony is a rich intellectual tradition where you get to say the N-word on the internet. Irony is not Jonathan Swift, who used a very very feeble form of irony that people in the past used because they were weak and they drink beer for breakfast. They were all short, disgusting, awful, childish irony. They could never have the honor, courage, or intelligence to reply to Hillary Clinton with screenshots from Dan Quinn videos. They could never make an alt account where they say the N-word. Which, you know, the which fall under the rich purview of modern irony, which is what we do.
Well, these guys basically hate the modern world. I mean, no, that is the trad cath sort of, that is their calling card. This is a line I like a lot. He writes, like Holden Caulfield, the Chapo guys believe everyone is a phony. Unlike Holden Caulfield, they are sometimes witty. No one escapes their destructive gaze. I just think they say, also like Holden Caulfield, we will probably shoot John Lennon or a musical figure of his probably, caliber sometime soon. Or one of our fans will, probably.
Unlike Holden Caulfield, we don't hang out with kids. That's weird. That's no good. I don't know. I don't even look at kids. That's no good.
But here's where he gets into like the meat of the article. He says, this is just what makes them confusingly alluring to some. They have a cult following, including among a group of leftist Catholics who call themselves illiberal Catholics or tradinistas. We're going to get into the tradinistas later, but we're going to explain that in a second. But he says, these tradinistas coalesce around a strong critique of free market capitalism and a full-throated defense of the church's social teachings. Goes on to define that a little bit more. It says they were particularly drawn into the episode where we made fun of Kevin Williamson, and that was our like subterfuge. That's how we hooked him.
Right.
And we also hate the National Review. They hate the National Review for their sort of racism and extolling of free market capitalism, blah, blah, blah. And it says it makes sense that they would be attracted to the critique that we're offering on the show, which is, like we said, we make fun of liberals and a lot of, you know, a lot of things that are sort of like mainstream liberal shibboleths. We do not spare them on this show. What does he say? So when it comes to irony bros like the Chapo Trap House crew, some Christians see the fact that they attack both sides equally as a sign that maybe they're doing something right.
Love that boy. Love that boy.
Maybe they could be an ally in the fight against liberalism. But the irony bros will never be allies of Christianity. Damn it. And another thing I would have said to Mark if he was on the show is thanking him for writing the article is because when we started doing this show way back in April, I mean, one of my main goals was to become the next Aleister Crowley. And I feel like in a small way, we've managed to do that. One writer who saw all this coming was Matthew Walther, associate editor of the Washington Free Beacon.
Prophet.
Walther tweeted the following on August 31st. Can we ban this Chapo Trap House thing? It clearly destroys minds, to say nothing of faith and morals. The Chapo crew and their loyal fans unleashed a stream of Twitter and anti-Catholic invective that cannot be repeated here. Why not? Just like link to it here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, otherwise, I don't know what you're talking about. Suffice to say, it was disgusting and completely unoriginal. Many of the Tradinistas expressed displeasure with the anti-Catholicism, but some maintain the Chapo crew were still an important ally in the fight against liberalism. The controversy died down after a while and was largely forgotten. Okay, here's the one line I want to take issue with here, where he says, first of all, I don't know like what this anti-Catholic invective was. I mean, is that just making fun of the Catholic Church?
I think it was, you know, like someone made the Chomo joke.
Okay, someone made the Chomo joke, and that's what
I'm sorry.
It is
vile and totally off, just hate speech to point out that the Catholic Church carried out a decades-long international conspiracy to cover up for hundreds of child molesters.
Totally.
I mean, if you were to just say something like that and it wasn't true, that would just be an awful calumny.
I mean, when he said completely unoriginal, like my sort of take on that was like, it's a shame that everyone's sort of go-to slam of the Catholic Church is so universally predictable, but like there's sort of a reason for that. And it's just at some point you're going to have to take this L. You know what I mean? I like the films of Roman Polanski, but like he still should have been in jail. You know what I mean? You know, it goes on and says, there are two lessons to take from this. First, there can be no common cause between Christianity and irony bros. Indeed, that irony bros have any cause other than omnidirectional destruction is stunningly ignorant. Again, Mark slightly walked that back to me, but I'm, you know, that's fine. Anyway, he says, my suggestion is we take lessons from this incident and then, of course, never speak of the Chapo guys again. So good luck with that.
Do you guys realize that, like, you're the freaks in this equation? Like, we're not... It's not like you, that, like, you strayed and, like, found some weird people and you're like, all right, let's never talk about... Like, you're weird. You want the government to, like, tell people they can't fuck other people in the ass. Like, there's something wrong with you. You're kind of a fucking
freak. And they also want, like, well, they want... state censorship authority to like when he said, when Walter says, can we ban this Chapo thing? I mean, in his ideal world, he would be speaking literally.
Yep.
Like actual ban, like Legion of Decency shit. And I actually saw a thread between a couple of these guys a couple weeks ago where this one, they were like debating whether we were quote unquote evil. the word evil was used.
You're a fucking asshole.
And whether we were damning people to hell by listening, like whether we were actually causing people to be damned by listening to us. I guarantee you that if these guys had their way, they would basically turn America into like 50s Ireland with like a religious police force running around like stamping, you know, forbidden on shit and burning it in giant pyres.
Let's bring back those Magdalene laundries.
I'm okay not being on that team. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
You can build coalitions out of anything. The Syrians' defense forces show this. But one thing you cannot build a coalition off of is about 50 New Deal Democrats who are afraid of the female orgasm and anyone else. Good luck selling your vision of the world to anyone.
Here's a couple of things. Like I put this thing out there about Matthew Walther, where like this whole idea that like he actually does agree with like many like leftist points of view, at least as far as economics is concerned, like, you know, that he could sign on for the Tratinista agenda because it's like, you know, economically left but socially conservative. Whatever, that's fine. I made the point that then why the fuck is he writing for the Free Beacon, which is like 100% against all of those things? And then someone responded who is a Tratinista, who, again, I'm told is a good person who does good work, so I'm not going to call them out or I didn't respond to this, but it is a point that I think is worth responding to. And he said, well, you know, what do you want from the guy? Like, it's hard to be a young writer. Like, it's hard to get your work published or get a byline or anything like that. Would you say Emmett Renson is a fake leftist because he wrote for Vox? Okay? And what I'll say to that is, like, look, we have, like, We've made fun of Vox a lot. I think it's kind of shit. It could be a lot better. Like, I have complaints about Vox, like, that, you know, we've discussed before. I don't have complaints about the Washington Free Beacon. I just think that, like, everyone who fucking writes for them and funds them should just stop breathing. Like, that's my only thought about the Washington Free Beacon.
It's fully unredeemable. Yeah. It is wholly unredeemable. There's nothing redeemable.
It's fucking trash.
That.
If you write for them, you're like, dude, you're totally and completely written off, in my opinion. And any sort of, like, half-assed sympathy that you're expressing for, like, universal health care or something like that, if anything, it makes you worse if you even half-sincerely believe that and write for these fuckers. You know, that's what I got to say about Walther and the Free Beacon. But the other thing I want to say is, like, when I was talking to Mark, I asked him, like, he's like, you know, when I listen to you guys talk to Suave, he's like, you know, I agree with you on economic issues. And, like, I said, the question I would ask you is, like, what does, like, a coalition or, like, collaboration between Catholics and lefties, like, what would that look like to you? And he said, I think he made a good point that, you know, Orthodox Catholics have always been organizing on, like, single issues in conjunction with the left. But when it comes to, like, supporting certain candidates, it becomes harder. And he was like, I think a lot of the Tratinistas did support Bernie Sanders. And he was like, well, it'll become an issue for you if we ever get, like, a candidate that is, like, at a Bernie Sanders level who is in favor of all the economic redistribution but also thinks abortion is murder. And then it would be incumbent on us to be like, okay, can I cross that Rubicon? Can I cast a vote for that, even though I have such a fundamental disagreement on what I regard as basically a non-negotiable issue? Like, I think a core commitment of any left-wing political agenda is that abortion must be legal.
Yeah, also non-negotiable to me are gay marriage and the non-criminal status of homosexual sex. My brother is gay. I'm sorry, but online bonds between some fucking sexually demented weirdos who may or may not support socialized medicine are not thicker than blood.
Also, you know what? No theocracy. Thank you very much.
Good on it.
Yeah.
It was astounding listening to these guys list off all their stuff. Like, hey, I'm in favor of socialism. I'm in favor of getting beyond capitalism and creating a robust safety net. And yeah, I also want the church to be in charge of the state. What? And like,
there are Jews in the world. There are Buddhists. There are Hindus and Mormons and them. There are those that follow Mohammed's but I've never been one of them. I'm a Roman Catholic and have been since before I was born. And the one thing they say about Catholics is they'll take you as soon as you're warm. You don't have to be a six-footer. You don't have to have a great brain. You don't have to have any clothes on. You're a Catholic the moment that came. Because every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to dip into the Tratanista manifesto. But before I do, I just want to like shout out. I saw an amazing thread between a guy who was like one of our. He was a former fan of the show who's now mad at us because we insulted the Catholic Church, and it was a thread between him and another guy where he was arguing with a guy over whether Jews and homosexuals are acceptable in society, and he was taking the he was saying that yes, that is acceptable, or it's more complicated than you make out. And I just like to suggest, if you find yourself even halfway seriously in that argument, you're already around the fucking bend, dude. Like, dude,
I believe, like, you said something like, I don't believe that Jews and sodomy are necessarily bad. Like, something like that.
Always,
like, shit, open-minded, wow.
You know you're off to a good start when you are, like, maybe two tweets in the argument, and you're like, look, the Jews, as a group, not all bad. We have to qualify that. You are in for some good shit.
Well, again, like, I think this is an interesting thing, because, like, the Tratanista Manifesto, let's go through it, because, you know, these are Catholic Marxists, and, like, a lot of what they lay out here and their the program that they sort of outline in this manifesto is, you know, like, based on socialist principles. But, like, what I liked about reading this is that it was, like, this whipsaw effect between – it was like watching a game of tennis between yes and no as I'm going through it. So let's just read a couple of these. So point number one, Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life who became man for the salvation of all.
Wait.
I'm going to take a hard pass on that.
I'm good. I am debating between whether it's Elijah or Al-Mahdi.
We believe in the authority and teachings of Christ entrusted to his church. We invite all in his sympathy and beliefs and goals to join us. Our project concerns the common good of all humanity. Well, if it's the common good of all humanity, I mean, like, why lead off with this thing about how Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life? I mean, again, if you believe that, that's your belief. And one of the things that Mark said to me when he was sort of debating coming on the show was, like, I'm a Catholic, so the question of religion and getting it right is very important to me, and I'd be worried that I would be, like, leading people astray from that religious question by sort of giving countenance to, I don't know, the show or our sense of humor or whatever. And I just feel like, you know, to me, the question of religion and other people's religion is exactly that. It's other people's. It's a question for them, not for all of humanity or, like, all of society, especially one as diverse as 21st century America.
Right.
That's not very trad of you, buddy. That's not trad of you at all.
I've made a lot of jokes so far in this show about Christianity being pagan, and I don't really, really believe it. It's funny to say, but I don't care what people believe. I really don't. I went to a Jesuit university. I've known people who have all types of beliefs, but the sort of one sticking point in the actual, I'm getting into very Fiegelsangian territory of, have you ever actually read the Bible?
Sir.
But no, it is a very big sticking point in the Bible that, well, in the first books, only one group of people is allowed to even care about God. And then in the next books, they're pretty explicit about saying that state and God are very different, and the laws of heaven are not meant to be the laws of state. But there's a world of belief out there, and for that reason, it should have no fucking place in government. And if it does for you, if you think that's important to you, if you fully implemented it, you would see something like Franco Spain. You would be seeing half a million dead in camps. Like, it's no good. It has never worked out.
Anticipating sort of the critique of that point of view, I think people might say, well, many of the great social and reform movements in American history were informed by Christianity and religion. But I think at least my response to that is, like, whether it's the civil rights movement or the labor movement or things like that, those all had political goals and ends which could be explained and defined social good completely independent of religion.
Yeah.
And, like, and when you get into things like, you know, gay marriage and things like that, like, it's only a religious argument that's being made. Like, there is no argument that's against gay marriage that can point to any kind of broader social ill, or at least if there is, I haven't seen it. It's just like, it's about a matter of personal religious conception. And if that's the case, it should be just, I think you should keep it to your, not keep it to yourself. You can believe what you want, but I don't think you can involve it in politics unless you have a better, more universal reason. I don't know.
See, but the thing is that what we're talking about, the point of view that you guys are talking about is a modernist point of view. It is the modern political mindset that came out of the Enlightenment.
And they reject it. Yeah, they reject it.
Yeah. They say no to it. It is an incommensurable thing. They see that and they're like, no, that's not what the state is. That's not what politics is. It is a thing that is this, like, God-centered, communal movement towards grace and all elements of the state pointing in the same direction for the salvation of all. That's what they think. And they're never going to be thought otherwise. And like when they say, hey, religious, as you said, religious impulse has driven a lot of good reforms, that's always been one element of a broader push that is within a framework of modern secular democracy. And they're always in the back seat. And I say, and I think we could agree, that they have to stay in the fucking back seat. I mean, they just do. Because what they want, and like, that's why Franco is such a good person to point to. And that's like, when I read any of these guys, even the ones who say they're leftists, all I think of is Franco. Is what they want is they want a pre-modern Catholic conception of sovereignty in a modern mass politics.
Now, doesn't Walther,
and that it doesn't, those cannot work together.
Like, doesn't Walther
without
actually,
massive amounts of repression, without massive amounts of state coercion.
Doesn't Walther actually want, like, America to be a monarchy? Doesn't he want to restore some lost monarch or something like that?
There's an 80-year-old Bavarian art collector named Franz. He's like the son of the deposed last king of Bavaria. And by this, and according to like the Stuart line of succession, he's the last living Jacobite, the Stuart pretender ruler of England, who were overthrown in the Glorious Revolution of 1688. And in his mind, he is the rightful sovereign of the United States.
No,
and the Great
no,
Britain.
No. Okay, this is the dumbest thing these fucking people believe. If you're not a Carlist, get the fuck off. Stop listening. Fuck you. This is a Carlist show. First and foremost, we're secular Carlists. Fuck you.
I mean,
real Requete hours.
All I got to say, Trump, Hillary, I'm going for Franz. 2016, hit the restart button. I want to go back to Franz. But no, Matt, to your point, I think bullet points 2 and 3 in the Tratinista Manifesto are very telling. Point 2, political authority ought to promote the teachings of the church. We recognize the social kingship of Christ, and all people are subject to him by his very essence and power. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh at this, but it is funny to me. While the polity has a positive obligation to facilitate the salvation of its citizens, it should not compel them to become Christian. Oh, that's very generous. But the polity, autonomous, though not perfectly separated from the church. Now, before you respond to that, let me just read number two. Sorry, number three. Number three. The goal of political authority is to create a good and virtuous people. The law is a teacher and always promotes a particular conception of the good. Morally neutral laws are therefore impossible. The essence of government is to lead citizens to virtue and societies to the highest of the natural common goods. All law and policy must aim at the common good, not at a private interest. Now, other than that last sentence, and our friend has made this point, and I think it's a very good one. Number three here is, in fact, actually one of the most dangerous things that you can believe politically, that the law can, you can use the law or political ideology to create virtuous people. It's the hallmark of every
great rules make a great society.
I think that one is actually probably more mistaken than just like the things that we disagree on about, you know, social policy vis-a-vis gay and gay people and women.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that he's right about they're right about the idea that there's no morally neutral laws and that laws promote some sort of
they
morality.
Promote a moral like, vision, right?
Right, but the idea that therefore has to be a sectarian one is crazy. and deeply harmful.
Yeah. And, you know, they said that, you know, people are autonomous, though not perfectly separated from the church. And it's just like, well, I got to say to that is like, that's for you. It's not for me. I don't believe in the church.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why would I not be perfectly separated from it? Like,
yeah, second of all, mercury in vaccines causes autonomy. And wait, is that the same thing?
Number four is political authority must be decentralized as far as possible. What do you guys have any thoughts on that? I personally like centralized authority. I think local and community forms of justice are inherently reactionary, but that's just me.
Yeah, they're bullshit. I mean, if you ever have been to a city council meeting, it's all people who are too stupid to be cops, but want to oppress people. They're what we call suppressive persons. Get it out of there.
Number five, economic life should be ordered to the common good. Again, I think I could fuck with that. Number six, capitalism must be abolished.
Get it out of here.
Yeah, down sure. with that.
Class society must be erased. Again, checking that out.
Yeah, good.
Do it. Do
now
it.
We've waited. We got through those first three or four are tough, and now this is exciting my pleasure zones.
Yep.
It's a universal effort founded in solidarity for a just society based on the common good, precisely because the capitalist class serves only its own sectarian interests. I guess they should just
true,
be replaced with another sectarian interest. Eight, livelihood should not depend on the market. Smash that motherfucking like button.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Hell yeah.
Nine, every person has a right to property. I agree with that. Yeah. Worker cooperatives should be strongly encouraged. Hell yes.
Why not?
Number 11.
I work in one.
Racism, misogyny, homophobia, transphobia, and similar forms of oppression must be eradicated.
The racism shit, yeah. I'm done with it. Still misogynist though.
Okay, this is where we hit a stretch there. We were rolling 4, 5, 6, but we're about to come on trips, okay? 11, again, racism and homophobia, transphobia must be eradicated. Number 12, marriage and family life should be specifically supported by the polity to promote the common good. We uphold the value of indissoluble marriage of one man and one woman ordered towards the generation of offspring, which is the foundation of society. Accordingly, the polity should take the supporting...
Oh, man, they were doing so good for a minute
there. Few things are more hostile to the poor among us than the bourgeois conception of marriage and family life, in which marriage becomes a mere contract or means to self-gratification. We therefore reject contraception, no-fault divorce, in vitro fertilization, and any similar attempt to sever marriage from procreation or interfere with its indissolubility.
Oh, fuck off.
I mean, come on. Oh, dude, do you know, like, ask yourself, do you know a single person whose lives were, like, irreparably harmed by their parents getting divorced? I mean, I don't.
This is why people cannot fucking stand you people, because you have some just, I don't know, like you're in sophomore year of college, you have some sexual fear, and you get to the part where you want to tell everybody what's best for them. You, like, why do you care if people get divorced? Why do you give a shit? Why do you care? Why do you care about a no-fault divorce? You're fucking 20. You've never even held hands with a girl. You're bizarre recluses from society. Why do you have any say in this?
And when they said that, you know, one man, one woman marriage is the foundation of our society. Again, I'm going to have to disagree with that. My point on this, when I read it, was that electricity is actually the foundation of our society, because if that went away, things would fall apart a lot quicker than if, like, every mom and dad in America got divorced tomorrow.
Yeah.
If that happened...
That would take it.
Yeah. Honestly...
I would about to have a much higher body count, that's for
yeah.
sure.
Well, just think about it this way. Like, conduct this thought experiment. If every mom and dad in America got divorced tomorrow, I maintain that things would pretty much carry on exactly as they are now. The people who would be otherwise disadvantaged would continue to be so, and the people who would be basically unaffected by divorce would be unaffected by it. But, like, the difference, again, is in money and in economic class rather than whether divorce or, you know, what your parents do is, like, not an inherently good or bad thing.
And when he talks about, when these guys talk about the dangers of the modern conception of marriage where it's just personal happiness, and so all you care about is whether you're happy, and so you throw away the relationship and all the structures you've created just on this fleeting thing, and there are things that are more important than happiness. You can make a, you can write a very moving article about how, you know, what we're losing with this modern sort of consumer idea of relationships.
Big but dating.
The alternative, yeah. The state enforcement of a religious conception of marriage. It's like, it's not like we don't know what that looks like. You know, that has happened in the past. There are places that still have that with other religions. I mean, whenever I read these guys, I always just think of like 50s Ireland. You know, some woman with a black eye going to her priest and him solemnly telling her that, you know, marriage isn't really just about your personal happiness, or fucking carting off pregnant teenagers to be slaves in the Magdalene laundries. I mean, we know what this actually means in practice when you put state power behind these kind of beliefs. And it's way fucking worse than whatever kind of ennui we're creating with these disposable relationships.
Number 13, abortion is a horrifying crime which must be eradicated immediately.
Do you guys really think that? Yeah. You don't really think good. That. We're you done. Don't really think that because...
They do, though. They really do.
No, but they don't. Because if you really thought that abortion is the murder of babies and millions are happening before your eyes, you wouldn't be writing fucking articles.
Well...
You wouldn't really be doing that. You don't really fucking think that, or else you would be acting differently. You wouldn't be fucking tweeting. Otherwise, you're the biggest fucking pussy in the world. What are you gonna? You're gonna quote tweet about it? Fuck off. You don't really think that. You just like telling people what to do.
Well, no. I mean, I'm gonna slightly push back on that because I think the argument could be made is like, well, you know, I think the U.S. government is a blood-soaked military empire responsible for, you know, millions of deaths, but I'm not like, you know, assassinating people or blowing up traffic or anything like that either. So they say that, well, you know, look, I'm not trying to kill anyone either. But I think the real test for whether you believe abortion is a horrifying crime and the moral and legal equivalent of murder is whether you're willing to cop to women being sent to jail for obtaining one. If you're not willing to do that, I'm sorry, but I can't take seriously your claim that you think it's, like I said, the moral and legal equivalent of murder.
Hey, those guys might hate Kevin Williamson, but at least on that front,
he kept it 100.
Yeah, he keeps it real. Kevin keeps it very real. Yeah.
They go on, the anthropogenic climate change threatens common good of all mankind and must be fought. Agree. We reject nationalism and the nation state. Agree. Warfare is justified only by careful moral analysis. I don't know, a little iffy on that one. I don't know what they mean by that. That's getting into this sort of like just war theory.
We could have invaded Iraq.
They love that just war shit.
Which
they
honestly, I think is hokum.
Yeah, I think it's crap. I think they mean that like we could have invaded Iraq if like we had proof that Saddam was building a Planned Parenthood.
All societies.
It's like the saber metrics of warfare. They're like, well, I've got the formula, man. I know exactly. Yeah. I know the precise number of people that have to die before we can intervene.
All societies should generously welcome migrants fleeing hardship. Agree.
Cook.
Yeah.
In everything possible, we stand with the poor and the marginalized. Okay. Agree. We strive towards a genuine polity animated by Christian socialist principles. Again, I'm not going to argue that point, but I can't really. 20, the last one is liberalism has failed and we must move beyond it. And, you know, I think basically we basically agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, that's the Tratinistas, and they've gotten some press this week. And, again, it's like I feel like I don't want to needlessly insult anyone who could where we agree on probably more than we disagree, at least based on that manifesto. But the things we do disagree on are, again, it's sort of non-negotiable for either side. So it's difficult. You know what I mean?
I mean, the deal is like you guys want a more equitable world, a more just world. Very importantly, a world where we're not all killed by runaway climate change. Get on board, man. Let's fucking create a goddamn coalition. Rainbow coalition of shit. But, all that other shit, sorry.
Like,
no.
here's...
And it's like, what do you want? Do you want half the pie or none of it? You know?
And here's the thing, like, I was thinking, like, could I, like let's say a Tratinista becomes, like, the next Bernie Sanders or, like, Jeremy Corbyn, or if there was, like, a politician that espoused this platform and values, like, could I find myself supporting them? And I think the answer is, like, maybe on, like, a local level, if I knew that they would essentially have no say in, like, the Supreme Court or anything like that. But if this group ever became the dominant political faction in our society, I would consider armed resistance, basically.
Yeah, this sounds like shit. I'm sorry. It's no good.
It's no good.
The good news, though, is that that'll never happen. Exactly. Because, as we discussed, these are 16 weirdos online.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, they... I do not like their chances.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I feel like I have respect for a lot of people who do serious work that is inspired by religion to fight poverty, because, to be honest, it's more than I'm doing, because I'm just hosting a podcast where I'm an asshole. But, you know, it's at the same time, it's like, if you're holding out this thing of, like, this kind of, you know, be careful because you could be alienating comrades otherwise, I just really have to question how many people actually believe in all of these socialist principles but also sincerely think abortion is murder. And I gotta say, it's probably not that many people.
I should add that I've heard from left Catholics who have not refuted us that guy Mark Maron is actually not even one of these dudes.
Yeah,
he's actually just a good old fashioned right wing Catholic.
Well, he told me,
and he has no interest in seeing any kind of coalition built between the left and the Catholic.
That is,
people.
Yeah. He told me that he didn't write the Tredonista manifesto, and that he could have some quibbles, but he says he mostly signs on for it. So, but then again, with these people, when they say,
well, that's not what I heard.
I know. Well, these people, when they say some quibbles, like, you, that's doing a lot of work. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so I don't know. That's our beef with the Catholic Church. Any closing thoughts on this?
Michael Corleone at the end of Godfather 3 did nothing wrong.
I have two things. One, everyone who's listening to this, welcome to hell. Enjoy it. Hopefully we can like be in the same tar pit together and trade memes for eternity. And secondly, I will say that the thing about the article that bothered me the most is that he sort of pitched us as like fucking South Park.
Right.
Like, well, they see the absurdity of both sides. And like there's no point of view, and that is wrong. We have a fucking point.
Yeah,
of view.
No, but I did say Mark.
It's not nihilism.
Mark did he did walk that back. He did he sort of said that he got that wrong in the article. At least he said that to me.
Well, I'm waiting for the fucking retraction, bitch. not in a fucking DM.
Well, look, again, and fucking Michael Brendan Daugherty, I mean, you had your chance to defend the Catholic Church.
Yeah,
and like I said, you were probably like at a busy schedule of doing fantasy baseball or writing for theslurve.com. So I think we see where your priorities
are. Oh, wow. Really, it looks like only Elohim protects.
But like, I am serious, though. I mean, like, if you're a Tradonista and you want to talk to us, like, I would be willing to talk to have you on the show. And if you're just a straight up reactionary, I do want to get someone on the show that we can actually have an argument with.
If you're a Calvinist, if you're a Huguenot, hey, if you're a right wing Anabaptist, anything.
Let us know. Hit us up in the DMs. But how about to close out this episode? We do some listener mail.
Let's do it.
Let's do some listener mail. Okay. I got a couple picked out here. The first one comes from Alex Bonwit under Escape from Texas. This is a little long, but he says, "Hey, Chapo, about 6 years ago, I made the terrible mistake of moving from Philly to Austin when I was an aimless recent college grad. Austin was fun at first, but has been becoming increasingly boring and vapid feeling over the last few years, not to mention the fact that we're under the current rule of Greg Abbott, former Rick Perry protege. I badly want to leave, but I'm not sure where to go. A lot of my family have ended up in Washington, D.C., where I spent 4 years earning an ill-advised film degree in college, but I'm not sure if I could stomach returning to a city teeming with go-getter congressional aides and political movers and shakers. What is a restless nomadic chaphead to do? Do value your thoughts an almost absurd amount." Okay, Alex, I'm not sure if you should be asking us advice on this kind of, you know, major life decision, but I'm going to just say come to Brooklyn, sweetie.
You know what, Alex? I've never been a man with a plan. I've only acted on emotion my entire life. Worked out pretty well. You should do something similar, you know, if you are blessed by God, protected by Him. In the way that I am. But if not, Minnesota has a great social safety net, one of the only of all 50 states. You could also, like Will said, move here and you could work for the Chapo Corporation.
Yeah, you can live in a fucking in a file cabinet in Bushwick. It'd be awesome. I'm really not a good person to ask either. I was basically a catatonic fail son for like a good half decade, and just like stumbled into this totally by accident, and you know, a slight change in anything, and I would probably be just like a completely encrusted in Cheeto dust, living in my parents' basement. So I'm definitely not anyone to ask for advice, but I'd say join the Merchant Marine.
That's good.
All right, I like that one.
Sail the seven seas,
like Llewyn Davis. Like Llewyn Davis.
Exactly. Get your union card and a fucking anchor tattoo. See the world.
Okay. Next one comes here from MJ. This isn't a question, but MJ has submitted his own Hillary voice take, and I want to do it now. It says, Hillary Clinton has asked me to address the press release as regards to her promotion with Pusha T. Did you guys see that this week?
I may not be an athlete, but I'm putting numbers on the board.
his is good. It goes, I may not be terminally ill, but I do have ice on my neck, so I don't get nauseous. That was a good good Pusha T related.
Pusher Tim, Killer Michael, and the whole gang.
Okay, this comes from next letter from Scott Schroeder. It says, greetings, comrades, in our eternal struggle for justice and development. In my university's unquestioned wisdom, the administration has invited our pal David Brooks to give our fall convocation address in a few weeks. Considering I go to Ole Miss, I guess I should be thankful that Trent Lott or some other segregationist shit wasn't invited. But I'm not too pleased this oaf will be here either. I want to go, and I want to say something to him. I don't think he deserves a serious form of protest or anything, but saying something embarrassing and funny in the Q&A portion is definitely in order. In solidarity, Scott Schroeder, Gray Wolf from week one. Scott, great question. I agree with you. I don't think David Brooks is a serious enough figure to do anything like standing up and turning your back or something like that, or holding up a sign that says like 1 million dead. How dare you? Or just like
David Brooks single-handedly sold the Iraq War. It was all him.
Putting duct tape over your mouth and being like, I don't know.
Lighting yourself on fire for David Brooks.
No, the signal curse of David Brooks' life is that he could not evince passion in anyone.
Imagine.
Including his wife, which is why she left him.
Yeah, no, Matt's onto something here, because I thought about this question, and here's what I think you should do. You should find his most recent book, which is titled The Road to Character, and find the acknowledgments, and approach him and get him to sign the acknowledgments page, and then when he's doing it, ask for the digits of the research assistant that he name checks in it, because let's just say it will be funny and embarrassing for everyone involved. Let's see. Next question here says, okay, this is sort of a complaint similar to some of the other ones we got. This is from Adam. He says, hi guys, I'm a Grey Wolf subscriber. I love you guys, but I'm not crazy about your use of the word cuck when you use it to refer to the anti-Trump Republicans. While they are horrible people, I think you should maybe come up with a different term than the anime fan Nazis use. As a friend pointed out, their usage probably comes from how on porn sites, cuck usually involves a black man having sex with a white man's wife. Also, I'm curious if any of you have ever met any polyamorous people who are making it work and are not the corny type who brag about it constantly in the common area of a dorm. I'm monog myself, but I do have friends who are poly and chill. Not close enough friends where I would get mad about those jokes, but instead I find the jokes funny. Actually, there's a second question that also references this.
A lot of people are coming out in defense of the poly people.
Yeah,
which,
yeah. No, so wait, let me find this.
Like,
real
have
quick.
You ever met one? Like, I'm not saying that all poly people have like white person dreadlocks, but all people with white person dreadlocks are poly.
No, the next question is a similar question from Perseus Bader. Good day, chapsticks. Greetings from an Aussie Grey Wolf. Love your show, and only wish you had an Australian spinoff that would skewer and dissect our own highly fucked up politics and culture. Matt V. Brady, are you listening, mate?
Yeah, Mitt Brady.
Mitt Brady. But he says,
well, to your right now, Martin Trumbull's a bit of a wanker, mate.
He says, my question is, why is polyamory a staple of your jokes? I'm sure there's a lot of narcissistic bullshit that has been written about it, but I feel like it's Like, that's true about lots of ultimately innocuous stuff. Do you guys think there's anything inherently dumb or bad about Polly? Or are you having a laugh at it the way it gets talked about by a particular type of person? I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with Polly. I just think it's funny.
I feel like I should feel this one because I'm responsible for about 80% of the polyamory jokes. Not only on the show, but just on the internet. No, I don't think there's anything particularly wrong with it. It's just funny to make fun of. I've met more people who it doesn't work for than it does. But, hey, you know what? Not my business either way. I like to make fun of it.
Yeah, it's certainly not above being made fun of, especially the way certain people talk about it. And to answer these, I think I know a couple people who are poly and chill.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, and then it does work for them. But, I don't have any really serious thoughts. I just think it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
As to the question of cuck and use of the word cuck, I gotta say, I can't see myself not using it to talk about the anti-Trump people, just because, again, it's funny. And I think it accurately describes him. What can I say?
Yeah, I mean, like, look at Jeb Bush. What does he look like? But, like, a guy being cucked. I mean,
a guy watching Lexington Steel plow his wife.
Ben Shapiro, same thing. Like, I'm sorry. Like, well, we're calling them elevators half the time now, but it's fun.
Like, if you want the politically correct insults for the Never Trump people, just call them elevators.
Yeah.
Or elevator boys or something like that. But
we'll try to change the ratio from like 80-20 to maybe closer to 50-50 cuck to elevator.
Yeah.
And then one other thing, we did have our Alpha Grey Wolf listener Amelia McWork emailed us last week in response to one of the other listener questions that was sort of taking issue with our Elizabeth Holmes joke, and she stuck up for us and said that, you know, she thought it was hilarious. I just want to say shout out to Amelia, but it does remind me that the person who wrote in to complain said the joke was, quote, pound my pussy. But in fact, the joke was go to town on my pussy, which I think makes a big difference in terms of who's being objectified.
Elizabeth Holmes is not being fucked in the joke. She's having the violin played on her, which is when you put two fingers above and around the G-spot, play the clit like a swizzle stick flute, and females typically experience triple-digit orgasms.
Yeah, no, that was
apology to women.
That was a joke about pleasuring a woman, you know, not just fucking them.
Yeah, but making love.
Yeah. Woman-affirming erotica is what we believe in. She
in that thing, she is empowered. She is making the demand. She's saying, I am willing to come out and say, I want triple-digit orgasms, and you're going to give them to me.
So,
a mentally ill man from YouTube is eating her pussy. It's empowering.
Okay, I think that's a good note to end the show on. Thanks again to all the listeners, and special thanks to all the haters. One of you is worth 1,000 fans.
Deus in eternum, roll those billiards.
Yo, let's go smoke some incense, dog.
Let's do it.
All right, peace.
Bye.
Hey, don't say that. Now kneel. I don't have to kneel. I don't see the point. Because God wants it. Look, just do what the priest says. Don't ask why. Just do. Look, our moms are here. They see the value in it. Why can't you? Where's your mom going?
Oh, she keeps a cigarette burning out on the steps outside, so she's gonna go hack a butt.
So she just comes and goes as she pleases. There's no sort of rules for her.
She's put her time in here, all right? The Lord makes an exception for her.
Jesus Christ, man.
Wait!
Don't stop using his name in vain. Now stand.
Stand?
Yes, and give me some money for the baskets.
No, I'm not giving you money. No,
thank you.
We have to
give money.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Look, if anything, the church would give us money. You know, they seem to have plenty of it.
Dude, the church doesn't give money. It takes it. All right? That's the way it works. And then you go to heaven. Now kneel.
Kneel? We're going to kneel again?
Actually, it's over. We're standing again.
Son of a bitch. This is a scam, okay? This is a scam. All this kneeling, standing, getting people all confused.